Hello and welcome to another wildlife podcast. This week is my wild garden week with a little twist because we're doing it in autumn. Very, very exciting. And today I am joined by Hilary and Russ from the My Wild City team to talk all about gardening for wildlife in autumn. So what is happening in our gardens right now? What is wildlife up to as we approach autumn? Russ, I don't know if you maybe want to start.
Yeah, so this is an exciting time in our gardens because our wildlife is very busy preparing for winter. So whether you're a thrush that's looking to make sure that in your territory you've got a berry tree, something like a rowan, or even a cottonista, something with big red berries that you're going to keep through winter. Or you might be some of the beetles that are looking for somewhere to evade the frosts that are going to start coming overnight. Wildlife is keen to find its winter home, its winter food, and prepare for winter as winter is coming.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things, isn't it, about autumn. I think lots of us gardeners see it as a time to sort of tidy up, you know, the lots of flowers have stopped flowering, so you've got seed heads and you know, dead heads everywhere, and the leaves are coming off, so you see the bare branches and twigs, and lots of people go out with their loppers and secateurs and chop everything down at this time of year and tidy. But I really think, have a think about your garden from wildlife's point of view, because so many creatures need places to shelter, don't they? And that's why it's so important to leave some of that dying and dead twigs and branches and seed heads so that some of our creatures have somewhere to go as the weather gets colder and wetter.
I'll give an example on that as well, actually, that's happened this week in my garden. Next to our garden, we've got a small field, and it's been it's not got any crops in it. It was just kind of long grass. But last week it was cut. September is a time for many cuttings to happen. And so the field was cut down. And as a result, if you imagine all the animals that were living in there and sleeping in there and feeding in there, they then have to find somewhere else to go. And we've seen in our garden an increase in the wildlife that visits. And we have our resident wood mouse back. So last winter, we noticed we had a wood mouse feeding from the bird feeder. It disappeared in spring and summer because the field next door was natural food for it, natural cover. But our garden is therefore offering a backup so that when the field does get cut, the animals can come into our garden to take a bit of the food or go into the bit of long grass we keep at the edge of the lawn throughout the year, just as a shelter belt. And that means they can just hide away until the field recovers itself.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. I know I've got some sunflowers in the back garden, and I'm going to make sure they're staked, you know, and tied up so that they can stay up all winter. Because I know one winter we had lots of ladybirds were inside the hollow stem of an old sunflower. So they were all, I was going to say roosting, but roosting's not the right word, is it? But they were all huddled up, you know, sheltering from the weather inside an old sunflower stem. Brilliant.
Wow. That must have been a really cool thing to
Yeah, it was. And it just goes to show that all those things you just think look a bit untidy and a bit dead and you should chop them down have actually got a real use. You know, none of these creatures have got centrally heated houses and flats to go into, have they? They need to take shelter from the weather in our gardens and backyards.
Yeah. Now, well, you say, Hilary, that most gardeners at this time of year want to get out and tidy. I think I am the polar opposite of that. I am very definitely a fair weather gardener. And as it gets colder, I tend to sort of stop thinking about the garden and things I can do in it. And I just leave it to do its own thing. And then in spring, I'll step back out and see what's happened. But for people who are still looking for ways to do something in their garden, some little jobs, some things that they can enjoy doing and that wildlife will really thank them for. Is there anything that we can sort of be getting on with? What are some wildlife gardening jobs we can be doing?
Yeah, oh yeah, well definitely. It's now the time to think about planting bulbs for next spring. you know, I just, I mean, like most people, I suppose, it's that you long, don't you, for that colour and excitement of bulbs coming up and flowering in early spring. It's just after the long grey winter, it's just so exciting. But you have to be prepared, you have to be organised and think about it now and plant them now in the autumn so that they come up in spring. And I know, you know, people like daffodils and tulips, but I would ask you, as well as those bulbs, to think about crocuses, because crocuses flower really early and they can be a really good source of nectar and pollen for early bees. So, you know, it's hard to imagine, isn't it, but February, March, when it's still quite dark and quite chilly, they're often the first flowers you see coming up. And on those just warm days where a bee might come out and fly, if you've got some crocuses for them to feed on, that might enable them to see the summer through. So yeah, think about planting bulbs and especially crocuses.
Yeah, they're a lovely bit of, as you say, just some early kind of colour in the garden as well. I know our local park was full of them last year, and it was just such a joy because there was nothing else really to look at that was that colourful. The crocuses were just lovely to see. So that they'll certainly make your garden look really attractive as well.
Yeah. And I guess something else to be done in the winter is planting bushes and trees, because it's always best to plant those when the leaves are off. So a bit later on into the autumn, really, it'll be November, you know, Christmas time and into next year before spring. But have a think about, has your garden got room for a bush or a small tree? Before you buy it, plant it. Think about how big it's going to grow, because I know we've all planted things that get completely out of control and then you end up having to chop them down. But, you know, some of these, especially berry bearing bushes that, you know, like Russ mentioned earlier, to provide food for birds that are overwintering. And of course, because they've got berries on, they're attractive all winter and they flower in spring. So, you know, have a think about the hawthorns and crab apples. You know, smallish trees, large bushes, if you've got room for one, it'd be great to plant one.
That's absolutely right. And another thing about those bushes that is a really good detail is that a lot of these bushes will have the leaves on them that are about to drop off. And again, as we were saying earlier, the temptation is to kind of tidy them away and get rid of them. But those leaves are a habitat in themselves right through the winter. So it's good to have a few piles of either the dried leaves in the corner of the garden with some twigs as well. That can be places where beetles, insects, worms can be underneath there. You could get frogs, toads, newts also using that. The technical term is a hibernacula. That's what you've created, a place where amphibians can hibernate over winter. And of course, everyone's favorite garden visitor, the hedgehog, may also use the largest piles to hibernate in itself. And so it's good to think about that now, because that's what the animals are doing. They're thinking about it now. Compost bins are another good thing to think about, to plan what you need to do with it. Throughout the year, you might need to move and turn your compost around to make sure that it's degrading at the right level. And so if you're planning to do that, the best thing to do is probably do that now, ahead of the winter months, so that you allow any creatures that use the compost bin to hibernate enough time to rest and relax throughout winter, so you're not going to disturb them in the coldest months when they're most vulnerable. And on top of that, you've also got bird boxes, which is, some people ask, you know, do I need to clean the bird box out after the year? And I don't know about you guys, but my answer is always, well, you can if you want to. It depends if how many nests have been in there. Some nests get really full. But now is the time to check, because the birds are also planning their moves for next spring. And really, by the time it gets to Christmas, most birds will have their plan. They'll know where plan A is, they'll know where plan B is, and they'll know where backup plan C is as well. And so if you want to clean them out, now's the best time to do that. I don't know if, Hilary, you would agree with the cleaning out of the bird boxes?
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think it's essential, but on the other hand, you know, people like to do it, and sometimes you also need to do some repairs on your bird box, don't you? And make sure they're in good state and the roof's still good for next year. So yeah, definitely now's the time. Take them down, clean them out, pop them back up in good time for later on when it gets really cold, I guess. I think, you know, the same goes for ponds. You know, if you've got a pond in your garden, late autumn is the time to check it over and get any leaves off the top. And if you haven't got any water on the surface at all, I think now's the time to take some vegetation out. If you take some of the plants out of the pond and then just leave them at the side of the pond so all the creatures can come out of that vegetation, that's the best thing to do. So then the creatures can return to the pond and then you can compost the plants from it. But, you know, if you need to do something in your pond, late autumn's the time to do it. Definitely not spring when everything's really active and moving around. You know, everything just needs to be left alone then to get on with what they need to get on with.
Great, thank you. So I guess the message is tidy some things, leave others, and just really think about what it is that your garden is providing for wildlife and what it can provide, and the sort of things that wildlife is going to be thinking about over the kind of coming months. So they're going to be thinking about how they're going to be able to keep warm. They're going to be thinking about where they're going to be able to find regular source of food and water. So just have a really good think about what it is that your garden or your balcony or whatever space you have, because it doesn't have to be a big space at all, but just think about what it is providing for wildlife and the ways that you can help it even more so. And I know that some people love autumn, some people hate autumn. So I just wanted to perhaps just end this podcast on, if you have a favourite thing about autumn, what's something that people can get a bit excited about? If they're feeling a bit down that summer's over, then what can people be getting excited about? Russ, I don't know if you maybe want to go first.
I would say that it's a very good time to get excited about fungi, which is mushrooms, because this is a kingdom of wildlife in itself. So it's not plants, it's not animals. There are thousands of species of mushroom and fungi that live in Britain. And because of their way of life, we could do a whole podcast about them, can't we really? But you never know what's going to turn up in your garden. I had in my parents' garden one year, my mum said, oh, we've got these funny pink mushrooms in the middle of the lawn. And I don't know what they are. And before my dad cut the lawn, I came over to see what they were. And they were pink wax cap mushrooms, which are an indicator of biologically rich grassland. So I said, Dad, actually, your lawn is pretty rich for wildlife. I'm not sure he was too necessarily comfortable with that designation, but it just goes to show that you never know what might grow. And it can really tell you something about how your garden is performing for all sorts of different things, whether it's, you know, brackets growing on a tree or something coming up in the middle of the lawn. And there's some brilliant colours. So my top tip is to keep an eye out for your fungi.
Great.
Yeah, I think what I look forward to is when the leaves are off the trees, you can actually see all those small birds in the trees. So lots of things just hide behind the leaves, don't they, all through the spring and summer. But in the winter, you get a chance to look up and see those birds without the leaves on the trees. And of course, my favourite bird, I've probably told you before, the starling. I will get excited about those birds because not only do they come to my garden feeder regularly, which is fantastic in all their spotty, sparkly loveliness, but thousands of them, tens of thousands of them will be migrating soon from Northern Europe. So in order to avoid the colder weather there, they'll be coming to this country. And I'm really hoping to see some starling murmurations. They're wildlife spectaculars this winter. That won't be in my garden, but I'm hoping in a reed bed or something similar, a nature reserve nearby.
I do love a good starling murmuration.
Yes, my favourite thing.
So I think that brings us to the end of today's podcast. I'd just like to say a huge thank you to Hilary and Russ today for some really interesting and useful tips for things that we can be doing in our garden this autumn. And I hope that you will enjoy the rest of My World Garden Week. We'll be bringing you all sorts of content, from new blogs and live videos to exciting posts about that go into even more detail about what you can be doing. So we hope that you enjoy that. And for even more ways that you can help wildlife in your garden or in whatever space you have, then do feel free to go to our website, www.lancswt.org.uk/mywildcity, and download your free My Wild Garden booklet today. So that's filled with lots of ideas for things that you can be getting on with. And enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you, Hilary. Thank you, Russ.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.